Well, I felt like I was very blessed this week by the Spirit's leading and teaching. I couldn't wait to share with you guys this morning. I went to bed all excited. With VBS this past week, we went through an exercise and we would state something about God's Word and we would say, "Let's go." Good job, Tyler, wherever you are. So, we've got five things that I'm going to say, and I want to hear you guys say, "Let's go." So, God's Word is true. God's Word is comforting.
Let's go.
God's Word is life-changing.
Let's go.
God's Word is for everyone.
Let's go.
God's Word is surprising. Let's go. I loved that part about Bible school. Now, I was going to show a clip this morning, but I didn't quite put it in there because you kind of have to know the background of the show. But has anybody out there ever seen The Office? Steve Carell? I've seen, I think, every episode. There's a commercial on TV right now where Dwight runs into the room and he says, "Michael's up on the roof, he's doing something crazy, let's go!" Stanley says, "Is it hot outside?" "It's fine, let's go!" Ryan says, "Do I need a long sleeve? Will I be comfortable in a long sleeve tee?" "You'll be fine, let's go!" More questions, "Everybody, you'll be fine, let's go!" All right. So you've got this guy coming in all excited, trying to get people out, and all he gets met with is all these questions. Am I going to be comfortable? Should I go? Is this worth my time? Those sort of things. Now, when we were kids, it was very easy to get excited. All you had to do was be around someone who was exciting, right? Now, with my oldest son, the best way to get him to do things is to get excited about it. And I remember when he was little, to get him to do something like, I don't know, pick up his toys. Get your eyes real big. That's the first part. He knows something's going on. Get your eyes big. And you lower your voice so he has to come at him. "Tyler. Yeah. Want to pick up your toys? Why?" "Because there might be some toys in there that you haven't seen for a while. Let's go clean your room." Dawn on him. "Yeah, let's go clean my room. Go find some toys." But if I were to come to him and say, "Hey, go clean your room," "I don't want to do that, Dad." "Well, you might find some toys in there." "I still don't want to do it." But if you get excited, like those toys are exciting, he's going to get excited and he's going to want to do it. And that's the way it is with kids. But as we get older, like the commercial, it seems that we get less excited about things. We just do. We become, we use the words mature, we become wise, and we talk about the things that we should be excited of, such as our salvation, as if it's an everyday thing, as if it's not as exciting as it was. And I remember working at camp, and I remember being saved at camp, and I remember walking out in this Christian community that was supposed to embrace me and encourage me, said, "Yeah, that'll fade. That excitement that you feel, don't worry. That'll go away, and then you'll become grounded in your faith." Do you ever hear that? Somebody said, "Oh, no, that's the truth." This is what we say to our new Christians. We see people with all this excitement and just bubbling for God, and we say, "Well, you know, they just got saved. You know how that was for you." And they'll come down a little bit, and then they'll get grounded in their faith, and then they'll be mature and wise like us. Right? Does that sound familiar? I mean, if we're honest with ourselves, that may have happened to you. Worse yet, you may have said that to someone else. I know I have. We treat our salvation as if it becomes not as big of a deal. We take gray-haired wisdom. And what we think is gray-haired wisdom is mistaken because it's actually dried-up enthusiasm. We say, "Go to those with the gray hair." And I'm not saying this is true if you have gray hair, but I'm saying there's so many times we mistake dried-up enthusiasm for gray-haired wisdom. Ann Nichols is not dried-up enthusiasm. She is gray-haired wisdom. If you go to this woman, I've never seen a dried-up Ann in my life, and I've known her for 28 years. So often, we mistake gray-haired wisdom, thinking that that's what it is. coming from a mature, wise Christian, when really all it is dried up enthusiasm. And we look at those kids who just got so excited for Jesus, so pumped up, and we look at them and we think to ourselves, that's all right. We'll help them become wise. We'll help them become more grounded in their faith, when the truth is that as we get older and as we get more mature, we get lost from day to day in our lives. I know when I went back in camp, I started to get lost in my life. I got lost with that, all of the things that I went back to, and Jesus, I started to scoot him and started to push him and started to get him over in the corner and walk away from him saying, okay, I'm saved. That's awesome. I'm not quite as excited about it anymore because life is hard and I'll need him someday, but I'm not dead yet and I have a life to live. And that's what we do. Is anybody going to argue that's a very common thing? We're so excited about our salvation because we've become this new creation. And then we come down off of that and we say that that's what you're supposed to do. Do you know why gray-haired wisdom is mistaken as dried-up enthusiasm? It's because if we actually, the majority of us, actually looked at ourselves and looked at that Christian, that new young Christian, and said, that's normal, that should not go away, then we would have to look at ourselves and say, there's something wrong with me because that went away and I don't know how to get it back. So instead, we look at these young, beautiful, vibrant, thriving Christians and we say that, I hope that goes away for them because then I won't be uncomfortable in my faith. Wow! And so when God calls us, when He urges us, go, what do? We ask questions. We hesitate. We say, is this in my best interest? We start serving out of ourselves instead of out of the love of Jesus Christ that's supposed to be in our hearts, that's supposed to be the thing that urges us and compels us forward. Did you know that those who have been transformed by Christ are compelled by His love to say, let's go? Did you know that that's how it works? When you are transformed by Jesus Christ, that love is in your heart, and it's that love that's in your heart that says, let's go. It's that love that's in your heart that says, yes, I want to go. It's the love that's in your heart that gets you excited about being an ambassador for God's good news, that He saved a wretch like me, and you can be saved too. When that love goes away, we start serving out of ourselves. And we start serving out of our selfishness. And then we start gauging what we should do by whether it fits into our life, by whether it fits into our time. We stop serving out of a heart that stands Christ next to us, and we start serving out of a heart that has sat Christ in the corner. As the cobwebs gather and say, I'll need him someday. I've been saved and I'll use him to cash in the check when it comes time to die and be redeemed. We witnessed this last two monthly meetings ago when we talked about doing a parade float. Everybody, I mean, the idea was great. Nobody wanted to take charge, but everybody said this. Every excuse that we heard was time or this is not my talent. Do you want to know that if God called those that were equipped, I would not be here preaching to you this morning? God did not call me because I was equipped. I am the most unequipped pastor you will ever meet to come to a church like this. I am serious. Thank you, Bob. It's the absolute truth. God does not call the equipped. He equips those He calls. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Guides us into all truth, right? So all we heard was, I can't do that. That's a great idea if somebody wants to take charge of it. And praise God, in a mission council meeting, somebody felt the Holy Spirit leading on his heart. And I tell you what, it was the most fun I have had since I have been here at this church in 2 years, to stand out there and watch Bob Rowe lead us, he's shaking his head no right now, knowing that he knew that this is not, I don't feel qualified to do this, but he stood up and he did it, and we had an awesome float. Did anybody come to the parade and see the float? Did anybody ride on the float? Oh yeah, it was fun. We threw out these carpenter's pencils. You would have seen these old guys. Those are carpenter's pencils. The best parade they've ever been to. It said something about come worship with the true carpenter or something like that. And they would run out there and grab them and just show them to their family. This is a carpenter's pencil. This is a man's pencil. This is the best float ever. We had so much fun because somebody was willing to listen to the Holy Spirit as it urged him forward through the love of Jesus Christ that he had in his heart to be obedient and not say, I'm not qualified to do this, or I don't have time to do this, or this isn't my best. Let some of those younger people do it. Let somebody that we're paying to work for us to do it. One of those answers that we give so much. You know that when you see, when you confess with your mouth and when you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, we don't meld Jesus into our lives. Do you know that? Romans 10 says that you are saved when you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that Jesus is Lord, that He's conquered death. We don't bring Jesus into this. Jesus takes us and He pulls us out of that. Did you know that? You're not supposed to bring Jesus into your old life because we become a new creation when Jesus saves us and puts that love in His heart. But so often we take Jesus and for a second we're that awesome, beautiful new creation. We just got that love just coming out of us, and we're so excited, we can't wait to share the love of God, and we go home, and we start saying, yeah, Jesus, come on in, I want to pick up this, and as we pick up our old lives, we walk farther and farther away from God. But no, Jesus is supposed to take the old, we are supposed to let go of the old, let Him take us and let us become a new creation that is reconciled with God. We're preaching out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, by the way, if you guys want to turn there, we'll read it in a second. And our job, our duty as new creations is to be His ambassadors to the world and spread His message of reconciliation, what we call the good news. That is God's message of reconciliation to creation, that is us. That Jesus conquered death and pardoned our sins, He created us anew, and you can be too. And that is our job as a church. That is our job as Christians, to be His ambassadors of the good news. Where do we go wrong? Well, it teaches that we are compelled to do these things. We are urged forward, depending on the translation, to live not for ourselves, not to go back to our old life and pick up the pieces of our sinful nature, but to move forward, to go and spread the love of God that saved even a wretch like me so He can save you too. We are compelled not by our own selfish desires, which would even be, I need to do this to be a better Christian. We are compelled not by anything that has to do with us or anyone else. We are compelled by the love of Jesus that is in our hearts. It says that the love of Jesus urges us to go forward, as Paul teaches to the Corinthians. Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 21. See what Paul teaches here. Starts off in verse 14, for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, and the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is our job, reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Is that not an awesome passage if you study it and understand what He's saying? Christ's love compels us. The love that we have from Him compels us to go and be ambassadors, to spread the message of God's reconciliation of creation. Did you know that Jesus is waiting to encounter you this week, today? Did you know that? We sit at home and we call Jesus to us. Jesus is calling us to Him. Did you know He wants to encounter you today? He wants to encounter you tomorrow. Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do." Those good works are where we encounter Christ, and those good works have already been prepared for you to do today. God is outside of time. We have to get our minds wrapped around that. God is in eternity. He's outside of the time frame that we are in. He has seen it all. He has experienced it all. He is experiencing that as he is experiencing the future, the past and the future. God has predestined these opportunities for us to encounter him. And not only do we get to encounter him, but we get to be ambassadors and further his kingdom by spreading the good news that, hey, God saved a wretched person like me. He can surely save you. These good works that God is waiting for us to do as he beckons, "Let's go," are for those who do not yet know his love and are not reconciled with him yet. These works are for the hurting, the lost, the hungry, the needy. Do you want to see Jesus this week? Let's turn into Matthew chapter 25. What does Jesus say about encountering him? He says it right here in chapter 25. Starting in verse 34, Jesus is teaching. He says, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you?' The king will reply, 'I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me.' And they also will answer, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?' And he will reply, 'I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for the least of these, you did not do for me.'" Jesus is waiting for you. Jesus is waiting for us. We are his body. He is waiting for us to get out there and encounter him in the things that God has already set for us to encounter him through. Jesus wants you to encounter him, and this is how we do it, by being those ambassadors. Not for ourselves, not for the sake of this church, but for the sake of the love of Jesus Christ and the salvation and the gift and the grace and the mercy and the Holy Spirit that you have been so graciously given in your heart. That's what makes you go forward. And if you do not have it, you will burn out, lay down, fall down, put Jesus in the corner, grow gray here, and say, "That's what we're all supposed to do." Knowing all along that you've lost your first love. The love that compels you to go forward. Jesus is waiting for you, and he's waiting for us. There's a lot more parades out there for us to make a float and go spread the word. There's a lot more opportunity for this church to get out in our community and spread the love. That's our job. Did you guys know these things? Did we forget? Is your Jesus stuffed in the corner of your heart, or is his love overtaking your heart right now, calling you to shed your sinful nature and live in the spirit of life, as Paul teaches in Romans chapter 8? Because that life is peace and abundance. Are you ready? Let's go. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you have given us such awesome words this morning and such a wonderful message of your love, and that we know that it is the love of Jesus Christ that is in our hearts that compels us to go forward and urges us to be ambassadors, to reconcile all the lost, the hurting, the hungry back to you through our works, through the lives that we live, through the words that we say, and through the hearts that beat with the love of Jesus. I pray that you would help us to seriously look at our lives. Look at the Jesus that we have put away. And understand why we put him away, so that we can deal with that sin, so that we can deal with whatever hurt, whatever anger, whatever bitterness, whatever selfishness, put him away. So that we can feel that love in our hearts and go forth and make disciples for your kingdom. This gift that we have been given is not just for us, it is for all creation, and it is our duty to share it. Equipped by the love of Jesus, help us to understand these things in our heart. In your name.